Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of the Eggers Gallery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Eggers. Our show recognizes and celebrates visual artists who exhibit their art at the Eggers Gallery. For more information about the artists and the gallery, please visit eggersgallery.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today's interview is with visual artist Julie Guerrero. Now let's take a peek inside the artist's studio.
My name's Julie Guerrero, or Guerrero if you prefer. I am a multimedia artist. I work primarily with acrylics on canvas or board, but I also do colored pencils, monoprint photo collages. I like to work with recyclables, mainly plastic right now, as well as other found objects.
Well, perfect. Julie, we want to thank you for exhibiting at the Eggers Gallery Forest Show. What influences your art?
When I was growing up as a kid in Flagstaff, Arizona, we went to the Navajo Reservation. I saw these signs. They said, Walk in Beauty. I saw numerous signs that said, Walk in Beauty. And I pondered that. I couldn't figure out what in the world they were talking about. And now that's something that I hold close to my heart. Just about anything I see, I can perceive the beauty in it. I'm inspired by nature, like many people are, both the big majestic vistas, but also those real humble things like twigs and dirt and the processes of nature. That's why I love this forest show. I have like scenic paintings that are inspired just by the beauty that I see, but I also have things called journey paintings. I call them journey paintings because they're a little different. Instead of painting something that I'm seeing, I play with the paint and the canvas or whatever. I watch what emerges, and then that speaks to me, and I go with whatever that is. And sometimes I don't even see it until later. I see things come up that are personal symbols or maybe universal symbols, and they usually instruct me. They have something to do with my current life journey. And what I find is when people connect with those paintings, they're generally going through the same kinds of things that I was going through at that time, and they really speak to them as well. Those are little different. They're inspired in a different way. And then I have other things that inspire me that I call magical moments. There are times when something synchronistic happens, and then you pay attention to that moment. It calls you to paint something that is right there in front of you. And so those are other ways that I'm inspired.
Could you describe a real-life situation that inspired a specific piece of artwork that you created?
I was driving over a canal in Ocean Shores, and I was buzzed by a heron. I mean, it literally just flew across the windshield. I'm really happy I didn't hit it, but it was huge. I didn't realize how big they were. And then a second heron came directly after that. At the time, I just retired from teaching. I really wanted to pursue art, and there was a gallery in Ocean Shores that I wanted to get into. I needed to have something to paint something to show that I could paint. Mm-hmm. So I was driving down Ocean Shores looking for something to paint that was inspiring, and I stopped at, it's called Overlake Drive, I believe, and just got out and walked over to one side of the lake, and there was a heron. It was standing right there. I looked at it, and I said, well, this obviously has to be what I need to paint. But I looked out, and it looked like a mud hole. I'm sorry, heron. You know, this is not very inspiring. And so I thought, you know, well, I guess this isn't it. And I turned around to go back to the car, and when I turned around, there was this amazing view of the lake and of the canal coming into it. And it was gorgeous. So I call that a heron's view, and I painted it, and it got me into the gallery, and it sold. And nice. It sold it to someone. I talked to her about the story, and she was retiring, and she bought it before she even retired. It was really sweet.
What makes art good to you?
When it connects with the viewer or the person who's experiencing it. I think there are many ways to connect. I thought about this question. It really made me think about my pieces and how I could improve them. For one, that visual piece, that visual beauty, it seems like the best art connects at many different levels. Just even like the five senses, instead of just something that you see, could evoke a scent or have a rhythm in it. So you actually hear the music. It's textured and you can feel it and speaks to your soul in some way, or it brings some nostalgic moment or an experience. So there's those kinds of pieces that people can connect with at many different levels. Then there's those other pieces that are addressing difficult issues, or they're addressing life experiences, or saying something. You learn something when you see them. You might not want to see see what you're seeing. It might be touching too deeply or making you ponder things you don't want to think about. Or the opposite, you know, celebrate things. But they're speaking to another piece and they're evoking some thought, some clever art that, you know, you see and you don't quite understand it. And when somebody explains it to you, you can start to see through another perspective and another thought process, and it opens your mind to another way of seeing. All of those things, I think, make good art.
How do you go about starting a new work?
It all depends on what it is. I think, like, the journey paintings, I just start to play. I like to do those in acrylic because I'm more experienced with it, and I can mix a lot of water and a lot of pouring and a lot of different kinds of media and start to play and then see where to go from there. Those are a little different. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing, like, a scenic piece, depends on whether I'm doing it plein air or if I'm doing off of a photograph. The forest one that's going to be displayed, that one came from, it was one of those synchronistic pieces. This was magical moment things. I was going to pick up some siding for my significant other, 16 years as a builder. We were going to pick up some siding, forest products, out of his home in the forest. And he's really quite gnome-like. He's like a guardian of the forest. Forest is really beautiful, and he's got this long beard and long hair, and he looks very much like he belongs in that part of the forest. You can tell he just loves wood. He has things that he's created out of wood in these beautiful gardens. I took a walk down this forest lane, and I was looking out into the forest. It was late afternoon, so the sun was shining in the background, these little sunlight lit patches. It looked like, through the leaves, it looked like there was actually a woman in this tree out in the background, and I took a picture of it. And that one, it was funny because I was playing with it in the evening, and this is what I do with pictures. I play with the composition of them on Photoshop. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing. I'm not changing the composition. I'm just looking at, I mean, I'm not adding, like, different things into it. I'm just looking at how could I crop this so that it's interesting and it catches the kinds of things I was seeing in it. So sometimes I start a painting like that. I crop something in Photoshop and then I look at that picture and then it inspires me for my painting. And that's what I was doing. And I was doing that for about a week. And then I went to the call to artists on the Washington website and there was this call on forest. I said, well, there you go. So I painted it. I painted what I was seeing and send it in, cross my fingers. That's how I got started with that one. One of the things I'm doing now is when I first started painting, I used to think a lot about my palette, what the colors were going to be in it, and what kind of a combination I wanted. Sometimes I just take it off of, like, a master artist that I just really love their work and just kind of try their palette, their colors. Lately, I've been struggling with some of my paintings. I'll be in the middle of the painting and I can't quite get it right. And I've realized that I'm trying to figure out a new palette on the painting while I'm doing it, and it just turns into a mess. And I've gone back to just some real basics of, like, I will maybe get a tetrad. I'll take the colors and I'll do the values all the way down and do a shade and a tint, and then I'll do a combination of all of them together, and then I'll take a look at it and say, do I like it? You know, do I like this palette? And sometimes it wows me, and sometimes I go, oh, I am so glad I didn't start the painting with that palette, because I would have run into the trouble I've been running into. And so the forest one was, actually, it was one of those where I wanted to put in more values than I had been putting in paintings, and I wanted to check the palette before I started. So I actually did that with that piece, and I was really happy with the way it came out.
That kind of goes into our next question, which would be, how has your practice changed over time?
I was a teacher for 25 to 30 years, for a long time. During that time, I mean, I really am an artist at heart. Discovered art in the sense of, I think my mom gave me some colored pencils for Christmas or something. It's just one of those things, you know, as an adult. And I found that there were times where I had these feelings about things and I couldn't quite put my finger on them. And so I just started drawing with a colored pencil. And the more I drew, it was like after I drew, then I could journal. It was like the words came. They didn't come first. The drawing came first and then the words came. I realized, wow, there's really something to drawing for me. And so then I started painting. The same thing happened with painting. So, like, my first journey painting is actually was a 5-year span painting. I changed it and changed it because it was just one of those that I just found so much joy in the process of painting that I had stretched this huge canvas. I had a really wonderful friend who is an artist, and she taught me how to do that. And I stretched this really large canvas. I looked at a Matisse painting that I love the colors in, and I just started painting what was going on in my life at that mm-hmm. time. And then I'd paint over it, and I did that for quite a long time. If you look on my website, that's Journey One. There's some symbols in there that are like that clock. It's not a Dolly clock. I just mm-hmm. was a single parent, mm-hmm. and I'd stay up at like 2 a.m. and paint because that's when everything's just quiet. You know, the whole world's yeah. quiet. And that clock, I just thought, if the minute hand goes forward, it's going backwards at the same time. So it cancels it out. And now I'm just left with day, night, and seasons. And that's good for me. So it's changed over time in the sense that that's how I used to do things. And then I had this frame in my house. Mm-hmm. And I would just journal and paintings, like not paintings in like pastels, like just do a pastel in the morning and then stick it in that frame. And then go off to work or whatever. And then mm-hmm. I'd do another one the next day and put it in that frame. And I just kept doing that. I would be doing my art whenever I could. And nice. Then I had a friend. This was about 3 years ago. I had a friend have a pop-up show. And she didn't have enough work for it. And so she asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And I said, well, sure. I wasn't going to miss the opportunity. But it was literally when my grades were due and all. But I grabbed everything I had. And I finished paintings. And I brought them to... We had a wonderful show. It was really... We had wonderful music and good food. And that was my first show. And it was so sweet. And I had a lot of sales. And I loved it because the intuitive pieces that I talk about that mm-hmm. were meaningful to me, one of them I put in the hallway. I didn't think, you know, where you'd walk by it, you wouldn't really stop and look at it. Because I just didn't know who it would speak to. And it was called First Call because it really was a piece I did for my first call to artists and I didn't get in. mm-hmm. So I just kind of put it in the hallway. And it was really, it's kind of a strange piece, but there's like this light coming down way into this the center of what looks like a personal female body part. literally, it is that call deep down inside of a woman finding that pearl within and then finding her voice. And that's what it was about. I was so surprised at how many women stopped at that piece, read what it was about, and then came and bought the print. It just made me so happy to see that, you know, what's happening within me is experienced with other people, too, and it speaks to them. And in some way, they're going through the same things that I was going through. It's very sweet. I changed to scenic kinds of things because of at Ocean Shores and just painting more quickly, starting to try different techniques. And I've been working with different mentors, and it's continually changing. I don't know if I described very well how it's changed, but it's continually changing.
What would you say are your future goals as an artist?
That's funny. I mean, I think everybody wants to sell their art, but I think that my goals more are I'm doing them right now. I was looking at the Washington website at the same time, and I saw that they have these residencies mm-hmm. where people explore their art, and they're given the time to do that with mentors. And that just seemed like such a wonderful thing. I think art goes in tandem with my own personal and spiritual growth. So as I explore my own personal and spiritual growth, I think my art reflects that and the kinds of thinking and that I'm experiencing. So I think I'm continuing to explore all of those things. But I looked at it and I realized that I kind of have that right here, my own residency in my own home. I think I actually retired early to follow this dream. It was sort of that I couldn't not do it anymore. And so I've probably less money than I've ever had, but I'm probably as happy, if not happier, than I've ever been. Because I retired early, I don't have to depend on my art, but I am still putting somebody through college. So, I mean, there are those kinds of issues, but they're not, it's funny because I'm more aligned with what my life is about. And so there's less fear than more, even in this circumstance. And things keep opening up, but I moved from the Gallery of Ocean Shores to closer to where I'm at now because I was living at Ocean Shores, now I'm in Aberdeen, to the Alder Grove Gallery here. Took a break from producing because in the gallery where I was producing a lot of art and selling it. And now I wanted to explore more some of the processes and some of the technique that I've always wanted to try and not have that same kind of pressure. But I've also expanded out in the sense of I went to the call for artists and I put Washington just to see what else was out there. But I didn't put Washington State. And there was, I didn't realize it until after I read this call. There was a call to artists out there for other people who might be interested. Art Impact for Humanity. And it's in Washington, D.C. So I went ahead and sent in three of the journey pieces I was working on. And one was chosen to be digitally represented. presented at an opening there at the Pepco Edison Place Gallery. So that, and in doing that, that made me create a website. And so then I had a website and I put that out on Facebook and I sold a big piece there. And so it's just like, I'm just expanding out. It's just been a really great experience. But at the same time, I'm still a member of the North Beach Artists Guild and the Associated Arts of Ocean Shores and still want to keep involved with the shows that they do around here and the gallery here and such. But it's a little different in the sense of I'm not working the gallery. It's just different in that sense. I have a piece there that's being represented, or a couple of pieces, a number of pieces, I think five or six.
Nice. So you sell most of your art at local galleries and on your website and social media and whatnot?
Yes, and fairs that come through. There's like a Beachcombers Fair, and they have different art groups here that I get connected with. There's a healing gallery that our Aberdeen puts on. I had work in the lobby art, like at the hospital, and they have shows at the library and the college here and those kinds of things. You just take advantage of the things that are coming up.
What's the best tip you could give another artist, something you've learned along the way?
I would say keep an open mind. I've noticed that we all have very strong personalities because there are all kinds of artists and all kinds of mentors, and some that you think may not be a good fit to learn from, and they end up showing you things that you would have never thought were possible in your own work. The other piece is to write affirmations every day, like in the artist's way. If you've never read the artist's way, to read it because I've been writing, I am a brilliant, successful artist, like 10 times a day. I did that way back when I would write it. It came like, I'm pretty sure it's straight from the artist's way. I'm a brilliant, successful artist. And I'm telling you, when somebody looks at my art and you can tell it doesn't appeal to them, I look and I think, you know, they just don't see. I'm a brilliant, successful artist. Or when somebody connects with it, you know, either way, because it's so personal, the things that you put out there, that they'll really speak to some people and other people will just walk on by, you know, or they'll look at it and they'll just say, I don't get that piece, and or, you know, whatever. And for you, it's your heart and soul that you just exposed, you know. And so those affirmations are just absolutely critical, I think. It's interesting because I tend to have, I don't know if anybody else has this happen to them, but after somebody buys a real expensive piece, and it's probably because I don't come from very much, you know, I've had to work really hard for regular life stuff, like food and housing and such, that when somebody spends $500 or something on my piece, you know, I think afterwards, oh, I really hope they still like it, you know, when they get it, when it gets to them, and then they spend more money on framing it or this or that or whatever. I have to let that go, and I have to remember that they saw something in that piece. It spoke to them to the extent that they valued it enough to be willing to do that and keep confident in that. And so I need those affirmations at those times. And truthfully, those pieces, they really did speak to me, and I have them priced because some of them I don't want to sell because I like holding on to them because they still speak to me.
Perfect. And where can people go to find out more about your work?
Julie L. Guerrero. That's Julie L. Guerrero, and it's spelled GUERRERO.com.
Julie, we'd like to thank you for participating in our podcast, and we look forward to the fourth show here at the Eggers Gallery. Look forward to seeing what you do in the near future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Eggers Gallery would like to thank all of the participating artists in the Forest Show. Those include Chaz Martin, CJ Elsick, Jamie Rodriguez, Julie Guerrero, Maya Cereda, Mark Lavitelli, Mauricio Pazviola, Nicole Ferran, and Robert Mullinex. For more information, please visit theeggersgallery.com. Thank you for joining us on our peek inside the artist studio.